This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 7, Thoughts on Being Judgmental. In this episode, Rochelle Hecker and I wrestle with our human tendency to be condemning of others who don't think or act like us.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your host is Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thanks for tuning in to today's podcast.
Welcome back to this edition of Praying with the Eyes. My co-host Rochelle Hecker and I are going to take on a very important topic, and it comes out of the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court on SCOTUS, which legalized gay marriages. And out of that decision, there was a lot of comments that were made by people and feelings of judgment that I felt that people were posting on Facebook and saying to each other. And so I wrote a blog about that, not about that decision, but about judgmentalism. And you can find a link to that blog at the show on the show notes for today at the Praying with the Eyes website if you would like to read that. But it really forms the basis of what Rochelle and I are going to talk about. Again, that article did not deal with SCOTUS. I have my opinions about it, but I really wanted to address what I saw as a lot of judgmentalism on both sides of the issue. So we're going to talk about that. Where we're going to go today, we're going to first of all start by talking and defining what does it mean to be judgmental. And then we're going to talk about triggers, those things that cause us to be judgmental. And then we're going to narrow it down. We're going to bring it down to more to the level of the church. And the results of this condemnation, this judgmentalism on the Christian church. And then we're going to also deal with positive ways to address judgmentalism in the church. Rochelle, good to have you back. It's been a while since you've been on.
It's good to be back.
Because you have not been on a podcast. You did a couple of the broadcasts with me. So what's been going on in your life?
Oh, we've just been busy running around with kids. Once school was out, we thought we'd have a break, but instead we've been running around. So
school starts soon, though.
School does start soon, too soon. I like my kids.
You do. That's nice.
Even when they make me tired, I like them.
Yeah. that's been my experience this summer. We spent quite a bit of time with our grandchildren, and they stayed with us while my son and daughter-in-law went out to San Diego for some time by themselves. And we had them for almost 5 days, and man, I don't know how you do it. Of course, they're a lot younger than your kids, but oh, man, this is just, they zap you of energy. But it was fun.
They always need the attention. That's the hard part, I think. They need you to be on all day.
Yeah, and, you know, in a grandparent position, it's a little different because you sit there and you say, okay, I don't have as much time with them. So if they want me to be on, I better be on because I don't get as many opportunities. But we had a good time, especially Janice. She's amazing with our grandkids. She just loves them. And she spent a morning and an afternoon on the beach in Avon at this lake with Eli. And he just was in heaven that whole time.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I would say our best time was we took a few days off and went camping, just us. And it was
Where'd you go?
We went up near Buena Vista.
Beautiful area.
It is a beautiful area, and it was just nice, and we didn't have a big agenda. We just were there to be out in our tent and play by the little stream going through the campground, and good family time that way.
That's neat. We used to. We haven't done any camping for a long time. Praying with the Eyes podcast is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, which I am privileged to be a pastor of. And we'd love for you to find out more about us by checking out our website at www.holycrosscs.org. I also would invite you to go to the Praying with the Eyes website. It's very easy to find. It's www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. And I post a daily blog there. As I say, most episodes, I love photography, and I try to combine a picture that I've taken someplace. And recently, I got to spend some time with my family up in Avon, Colorado, and posted some pictures and devotions from that time. And just a short devotion. Those go daily. But what's really neat about that website now is I have a number of people who are starting to write for blogs for that website. And it's been fun to post those and to see the reactions people have had to them, the comments people have made about those. So we'd love for you to go to the website, read our blogs, comment on them, and keep that discussion going that we start here on these podcasts. You can email me. This is a new email address. I had mentioned last episode. Now have an email address for questions, which actually has that word, questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. That's where you can get a hold of me if you have thoughts, ideas, questions. And if you have any for Rochelle during our discussion, I'll make sure that she gets those as well. So let's begin, Rochelle, our discussion on this podcast by defining what it means to be judgmental. It seems to me to be a fine line between making judgments and being judgmental.
Definitely. And just because the words sound alike doesn't mean they're the same thing. And I think being judgmental comes with a negative connotation, whereas making judgments is something you do constantly. There is a fine line between the two, but making judgments is necessary. Being judgmental is not necessarily so.
Yeah, you think about that, because you think about, if I did not make any judgments today, I can't. Well, you can't, because I'm sitting here. I was thinking about was getting out of bed. I make a decision, a judgment call, to stay in bed or get out of bed. Either way, I'm making a judgment based on the information I have, whether I should stay in bed or get out of bed.
Right, so it's even as simple as that. My first thought was shopping. I had to go shopping today, and I had a budget, and I had to choose which item to buy, depending on how much money I had.
And what you couldn't buy.
Exactly. Right, so it's just a matter of making choices.
So, we make financial judgments. We do that every day. Even if we're, struggling financially, we make a judgment as to what bill I can pay and what bill I can't pay, or something like that. But it's still a judgment. Maybe there's a morality that goes with that too. There has to be, but there's nothing judgmental about that.
Exactly right. We're not judging the money, we might be judging the product.
Condemning the product.
Condemning the product. That might be judgmental. It was made.
We make social judgments. I decide who I'm going to be friends with, who I'm not going to be friends with, based on criteria. And I don't know, maybe some people would say, well, that's judgmental. How can you say that? Well, sometimes
it's just truthful. I think we need to give ourselves permission to make those kinds of judgments. Because if you don't, you're just going to resent somebody, maybe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense.
Human.
Or I'm going to resent myself.
Okay.
Because I can sit there and think that, why did I choose to spend time in this relationship that can be very negative, and it can be very damaging to a person. And I'm not trying to be saying that that person's a bad person. It may be a dynamic between two people.
Correct, right. Or we just have a finite amount of time, and
sure,
our time might
absolutely
be better spent somewhere else.
Yeah, for me, with my finite amount of time and the way my family is right now, I make a decision on a number of friends. I don't have as many friends that I hang out with. To be honest, I hang out with family members. My kids are older. I hang out with them. My grandkids are now along. So, we make those decisions.
Right,
all the time.
And sometimes we feel guilty for the decision we make. But
yeah, we do.
Maybe not even necessarily so. But I know there are people I'd like to spend more time with, but I don't have the time to put myself into a relationship with that new person.
Right, right.
Or with an old person. I just have to focus on what I have to focus on. Even my kids, sometimes I feel that guilt. They want more time with me, but I need to. There's specific things you have to get done. So it's a social judgment.
And then there's another way of making a judgment in that, too, is it maybe, let's say this, that you have this new friend that you would like to develop a relationship with, but your time is finite. And so you sit there and say, well, I may have to not give as much time to this relationship over here and switch my time from that relationship to this other relationship, this new relationship. I mean, that's a judgment call still.
Exactly. So everything we do, even if we don't realize we're putting that much energy into it, we are. We're putting energy into making judgment calls all day long.
And we make moral judgments. We make judgments on morality, too. I decide, you and I were talking about this earlier, okay? We're going to take the extreme here. It's a moral judgment to say I'm going to kill somebody. That's a moral judgment.
It's a moral judgment whether or not it's okay to kill that somebody.
Right, right. But it's still a moral judgment. That's what I'm getting
right.
at. And your judgment of that is, say you decide to do that, not that Rochelle ever would.
But I might.
You might. Yeah. She and I were talking about this. We can take a squirrel moment here for a second. We were talking about the fact that you can really deceive yourself by saying, I would never do anything. After nearly 59 years of life now, begin to realize that's not true. I'm capable of doing a lot of stuff that I never thought I would.
We are all capable of things we weren't. With my degree in theater, that was one of the things we learned in acting. You know, you're trying to play a part of somebody who does something you don't think you would ever do. He's a murderer, or you're a murderer. Well, have you ever killed a mosquito? Put that energy into it. You murdered that mosquito. So you are capable of anything, but it depends on the point of view. You can justify so much that we think that that changes things.
As I was sharing with Shell too earlier, this lesson came home to me when I visited a group of inmates at the Nebraska State Penitentiary, and one of the inmates there had killed his best friend when he came in actually to her hospital room to kill himself in front of her because she was having an affair with her best friend. And the best friend happened to be in that room, and instead of killing himself, he killed his best friend. And he's the one who told me, you know, there are times when, you know, given the wrong frame of mind, the wrong means, in the wrong situation, you can and maybe probably will do the wrong thing.
Right. And it's important to recognize we have a capability of doing things we never thought we would do.
And we can make moral judgments that are negative and or immoral, we might say. But we can also make moral judgments that are beneficial. It's just that all we're trying to get at is we make moral judgments. That's not being judgmental. So when does it cross the line? So in the blog I wrote that for me, and I was just kind of teasing this out, and Rochelle's going to help me do a little bit more of this here, that some of it has to do with self-righteousness. And this is what I mean by that. So going back to SCOTUS, and I'm not taking a side here, and I know it's probably going to frustrate some of you, but that's not my purpose because I don't want to get distracted on that. I'm on one side of the issue, and I say my judgment of what the Supreme Court decision was is right. Therefore, the other side that disagrees with me is wrong, which maybe, you know, okay, whatever. There's nothing there. But where we cross the line is, and I say to you on the other side of that issue, you're stupid, you're an idiot, and we become condemning of that person. And it really it tears people down.
Right. It's the tearing people down that becomes the judgmental we're talking about then. It's the condemnation of other people, not necessarily thinking you're right, but determining they are absolutely wrong.
And it's a little bit easier in Greek because there's a couple of different words that are used in the Bible about judging, and one is simply just making judgments, and the other word is more condemning.
Okay.
And so when you read that, you kind of go, okay, this has the force. It may be translated still as being judgment or judgmental, but it has that force of condemning. And I think that, to me, is the critical issue. And as I tease this out, when I condemn you for your opinion, and your opinion may be, according to the Bible, let's be honest, your opinion may be wrong according to Scripture.
Correct.
Okay? I'm not saying we're accepting the opinions, but now I'm attacking you.
Right. That's the difference, because there are black and whites, and we tend to want not to have black and white issues. We want to have gray areas, but say we have specific black and whites, it's still how you interact with the person who's wrong that matters.
Exactly. And the person that I may consider wrong wouldn't understand being wrong because they don't have the same starting point that I do.
Yes.
For you and me, it's Scripture. We start there. I don't necessarily always like what the Bible says. I don't have to. It's still God's Word. And that becomes the beginning. If that person doesn't have that base, why would they agree with me?
Right, exactly. And the Bible even specifically breaks down the difference between people that do adhere to the Bible and to the law and people who don't.
Yeah, you had that Bible passage.
It's 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 and 13. For what have I to do with judging those outside? Is it not those who are inside that you are to judge? God will judge those outside. And it's it comes in the context of you have a different set of rules to go by, and it's really none of your business what people who don't even believe in God are doing. That's God's problem, or his business.
It is, and he does care.
And he does care.
You know, it's not that we're saying God doesn't care about the SCOTUS decision. He cares very deeply about it, but it's God's issue. if it's the person who's outside of Christ.
Right.
Now, we're going to be talking about, we're specifically, Rochelle and I are going to get down specifically to relating to people within the church eventually, but we're not there. We're just kind of talking in more general terms right now. One of the ways I see judgmentalism playing out is a name calling.
That's because it's quick and easy. I'm just saying that I see it too, especially on social media. It's quick to just put something out there, and I don't personally understand it very well because I think it's ineffective.
It is, but what it does makes me feel good. And what's interesting, I have friends politically that are liberal and conservative, and they both do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That person's an idiot for believing X and this. It's so interesting. The dynamic is the same.
It's the same as second grade.
Well, maybe kindergarten, huh? No, I don't know. Kindergarten's not quite the same.
I think it's one of our first go-tos in life, though. The first thing we start is labeling.
Yep. And by labeling you as a moron for believing something, then I've elevated myself as well, in my opinion. Okay, we're going to take a break, Rochelle and I, here. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about triggers that cause people to be judgmental. We'll be back in a moment.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at LifeTree Cafe. At LifeTree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about LifeTree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three LifeTree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. LifeTree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Welcome back to the second segment of Praying with the Eyes podcast, and we're talking about thoughts on being judgmental. It's related to a blog that I wrote. You can find that blog at our website at www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. I'll have a link in the show notes to that blog that I wrote if you're interested in reading that. If you have any questions as Rochelle Hecker and I talk for us, please email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So we talked so far, Rochelle, we talked about the definition of the difference between making judgments and being judgmental. And again, to make that kind of clear for people, what we're talking about with judgmentalism is that we're talking about condemning people. And that's where I kind of draw that line. So now what we want to talk about and engage you in conversation with is, what are the factors that cause a person to jump from making a judgment about something, even like SCOTUS, making a judgment, okay to make a judgment about it, to being judgmental? What are some of those issues?
Oh, and are you asking me to just...
I am. I'm asking you to start us, get going here.
Well, I think...
When we were talking, there was one that came to your mind right away.
Uh-oh. Well, now...
It's the one you wrote down.
Oh, this is the shutting down of communication.
No, before that.
Oh, okay. Oh, because we're forced to face our own sinful nature.
Yeah.
It's because if we can focus on someone else's issues, it keeps us from having to focus on our own.
That's so true.
And who wants to focus on your own issues when there's so many other people you could pick out to pick on?
So I'm going to become judgmental with you because I don't like being judgmental with myself.
All right. I mean, who wants to look at themselves that closely?
Well, and I think there's a misunderstanding of that whole idea. We're not talking about condemning ourselves either. I don't think God wants us to damn ourselves.
Well, we're not in charge of that.
No.
That's not our job.
No. and if we're in Christ, it's all been laid on Jesus, hasn't it?
It has, and he's already paid for that. So to continue to take it either judging and condemning ourselves or condemning others is to take away the worth of the cross and what he's already done.
Exactly. It just removes the cross completely from it. And I think that is a good trigger, is that I'm becoming very uncomfortable with this issue, whatever the issue is. And I'm looking deep inside of myself and I really don't like what I'm seeing. So if I can focus on maybe you specifically, or even a group of people that's out there somewhere, right, and call them names and whatever else. It just takes that whole focus away from me dealing with my own crud.
It takes the focus away from dealing with my own crud. We also like to have the sins that we like to pick on the most, and I don't know why that. We like to pick and choose which are the better ones and which are the worst ones.
I have an opinion on that. You want to hear it?
Sure. I don't know.
I do, and it comes out of some of the things. I think for a majority of Christians, I mean, I speak specifically about Christians. Maybe it's out in the world too, but being a pastor, my world is pretty narrow. We pick on sexual sins.
Oh, we absolutely do, partly because I think out in the real world, that's what's being projected more. It's talked about more. So we are focusing on it more. I think the world is as well, that's just a issue that's out there. But I do think that we tend to think that for some reason those sins are worse than, you know, obesity.
Gossip.
And even within the sexual sins, this sexual sin,
yes,
is worse,
yeah,
than
we
that.
We hierarchy
them.
Yeah. 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 But for me, I think it makes sense, my understanding of Scripture. And you go back to the Garden of Eden, and God created human creatures, male and female. That's a sexual being right there, okay? What's the first thing Adam and Eve do after they disobey God? They cover up their nakedness, which is an issue of saying, now shame is connected with God, the God-created part of my identity. And so I'm broken at the deepest level. My sin has broken me at my maleness of being a man, okay? I've gotten in trouble before for saying that God did not create us heterosexual or homosexual, and he didn't. He created us male and female. Now, he expects us to live out, and the word I think is very clear on this, to live out our sexuality in a heterosexual relationship. But what's broken about me is my maleness. And so every one of us, every stinking one of us, has to wrestle with it in one way or another.
Right. Yeah, it is a part of every single one of us, just like an anorexic has to eat food. I mean, not bulimic. So you have to learn how to control what you eat, but not let it control you. Sexuality is part of that. Being a female or a male is not something you can not be.
And it goes back to what you said, though. When I get uncomfortable with that, I'm going to point my finger at somebody else's sexual sin and say, theirs is worse than them. Call them a faggot. Call them whatever else you want to call them. Put our name to it, right?
Right, because we have to label things to put them in a group and make them no longer human.
That's right. That's exactly right. So another one for me, another trigger for me is fear. And that's related to that. Fear becomes something that when I'm in an uncomfortable, fearful situation, I don't want to live in that area. I don't want that kind of tension. So I'm going to be judgmental of someone who I feel raises a level of fear in me.
I was going to say, I think fear is huge because it actually taps into it. There's so many different types of fear. The fear of actually, I'm afraid I might commit that sin. I might do that sin. So now I'm going to condemn those who do it to help protect myself, maybe to kind of lecture myself. You've seen that. I've seen it in televangelists that condemn a certain sin, and then later they're arrested for that same sin. It's trying to control yourself by condemning others. Is that making sense?
Oh, it makes
sense?
A ton of sense. I think I'm cynical about that, yeah.
Yeah, or the fear that it might impact your family, or that it might hurt your family or hurt your government. There's so many different forms of fear that I think it covers everything that we're talking about.
Yeah, just a squirrel moment here for a second. I had a conversation with a couple of young men who are here in Colorado Springs, but they are from Columbia and are working with a Christian ministry here in town. And we were talking about, one of them traveled the world extensively. He's mid-20s and he's traveled the world extensively, lived in China, and maybe his 30s. He just looks so young. And the one theme that kept coming back in all these communities was fear, 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 fear of government, fear of the spirits in religion. And and how much fear is so motivating.
Isn't "do not fear" one of the most verses in the Bible say "do not fear"? Do they?
Yeah, yeah, and that and the one that I Stacy and I talked about in the last podcast was the scripture that says "perfect love cast out fear."
Right.
The only thing I can come up with there is that the perfect love talking about is God's love for me, because my love ain't perfect. Is there anything else for you that kind of they think is kind of a trigger?
Well, I think what goes along with it is the pride that we have, too, the thinking that we are better. We talked about it a little bit last segment. I'm not capable of that sin, therefore it must be worse. And it's another judgment call, but it's also a pride of I would never, ever, and a lack of understanding that there's always a situation that might put you in a, you already said it, you might. Mm-hmm. And that lack of recognition, I'm fearful of that, actually. I'm always afraid that I'll think I'm better than something because I know I might get tested in that area and I might fail. I always want to be aware.
Oh, man, that sounds so familiar.
I want to be
aware.
I do
the same thing.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
No, no, gosh. Yeah.
But
yeah.
If I know I'm capable of any sin, of anything, and then I don't judge others as much because I recognize that their situation is different than mine and they got to the place they are on a different road.
Do you think people are aware of these triggers that bring on judgmentalism?
Some people are. I guess I told you earlier, my daughter, when I told her not to judge others, that she needed to look at her own issues, she specifically just looked at me and said, no. Meaning that she knew she had her own problems, but she'd much prefer to look at other people's problems.
You know, what I love about your daughter, she's just honest.
She's very honest. And I think a lot of us are that way, but we just aren't honest with ourselves even, that is what we're doing.
And we can't be honest with ourselves because that would just be too painful to say that's the way I really am because I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be this way.
All right, yes.
You know? Or I'm a good human being. Yeah, if you know, not a Christian. I'm right. A good human being. I shouldn't be that way.
I'm a good person, so yeah. I won't judge. But even when you're saying you won't judge, you're judging the people that are judgmental. You're judging.
Yeah, we always are. Ooh, that's pretty deep.
You can't get out of it.
No, you can't. So that's why we live under the cross, too. And I hopefully those of you listening to us understand as we wrestle with this, that we are under that mercy and grace of Christ as we wrestle, as we try to change, as the Holy Spirit is molding and shaping us, too. Sometimes I think that we get so consumed with being right. You're talking about, you're right. We really don't care. We're so right that if it means I'm being judgmental, well, so what?
It just occurred to me, too, that part of it is not necessarily that we're so right, but maybe we have so much pain.
Mm.
Maybe you're hurting from some situation, something else, or someone else in your family, and you're bringing that pain to the table. And if the person you're interacting with is right and you are wrong, it's going to hurt more. And you don't want to be wrong because you don't want to hurt.
Yeah, none of us do. We don't like pain, do we?
No, I hate pain.
Same here. And I'm thinking about that. That's kind of an interesting thought. And then let's say you and I are having a discussion and it goes that direction and I'm not aware of your pain. I'm not, you know, because
right?
we aren't aware of people's pain. In fact, we don't want to feel other people's pain because it just reminds us of our own pain or adds on top of our pain. So I'm not aware of it. And so I don't know why you're responding that way. I'm just really ticked at you
right. Because
all of a sudden I feel like you're condemning me.
Because I am.
Because you are.
Verbally, at least.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So you respond in a way that causes more pain or at least shuts down the communication.
There's a cycle here.
Altogether.
There is absolutely a cycle that goes. As soon as you are, one of us feels condemned by the other person, we are going to strike back. Or another, I guess we could flee.
We could flee, yeah. Or we can protect, but we're...
It's not going to be, tell me, Rochelle, where is your pain coming from that you're being so crappy to me?
And if you said it, it would come out in that tone, a little sarcastic.
Yeah,
right?
It would. Exactly, exactly. Which means you really don't care. It's just like, shut up, you know, and you are so wrong.
You need to deal with your stuff and get yourself together.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be a part of that process. it seems then that... And you and I were talking about this in the break here, too, that when we start making these judgments, there are times when all of a sudden there's a crowd that supports us, that right. Jumps in behind us and say, yeah, you know.
And if there isn't a crowd that jumps out, we make sure to reach out to the people we think will agree with us and gather our own crowd, just to be sure. So if I argue with you right now, I'm going to go home and call my best friend and get some backup and make sure that I am... solidified? Is that the right word?
Yeah, because we don't feel that we may not feel that our opinion is even valid when we're judging somebody. We just made a statement, but now I got to have someone else come behind me to help me say, yeah, you were. Yeah, I was right. That was a valid statement you made. That person really is an idiot, you know?
I'm laughing, but it's terrible because that's what causes it to spread, and that's how it gets to be a less and less communication between larger and larger groups of people.
Yeah, so you called it second-grade behavior.
It is second-grade behavior, but it's also every age behavior.
Yeah, yeah. We learned it young in life, though. We did. Where I really see it coming out is when we reach puberty. In that part of life, I mean, it just changes life. Your whole world changes.
I'm just laughing because, you know, I have three kids at home going through this stage right now. So.
You go, where'd that come from?
Yes, it does come
Where's
out.
That sweet, innocent kid?
And I think a lot of it comes out because they are starting right at that age developmentally to make their own judgment decisions. It's
yes.
no longer, I believe this because mom and dad taught me this. It's, do I believe this for myself? And that's right, the age.
And to build up confidence in that, I'm going to be real forceful about my decision.
Absolutely.
And my idea. And I'm going to say this person whose shadow crossed me today is just an idiot. You know, you know, it's so absurd. Well, we're going to take a break again, and this is fun. I appreciate Rochelle spending this time. Hopefully, it's helping you out in your journey as well. We're going to take this break. When we come back, we're going to talk about now more specifically to the Christian community. What is the results in the Christian church with this aspect of condemnation? Back in a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
Time is passing by quickly here again as Rochelle and I talk, besides looking down at the clock at the time we had, I'm going, oops, we need to keep moving on. So appreciate your staying with us. I hope this is engaging with you. And again, if you have any questions or thoughts, please email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. And a reminder to you that the Praying with the Eyes podcast is a part of a much larger ministry at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We would love for you to go to our website at www.holycrosscs.org. So, Rochelle and I are going to take on a cliche. It's said often. I heard it a long time ago. I mean, it was probably like, I think when I first heard it was about two congregations ago. That would take us back to your old stomping grounds, around your old stomping grounds in Spokane.
Ah.
It's the cliche that the church is the only institution that shoots its wounded. And to me, that's a partial truth. In this way, it's not the only institution.
All right. Anytime you put an absolute, you know it's a partial truth. Right?
True. It gets your attention is more what it does. Politics, I mean, we think it's bad in the church, but in politics, it's terrible.
Right. Well, we've got people running for president that are shooting each other in their own party, right? Because
they've
got to come out ahead.
Yep.
And then the whole party suffers.
Yeah. And in sports, it's built into the sport that when an opponent is weak, you pounce on their weakness.
When an opponent is weak, and also when a teammate is weak, we have to remove them from the team eventually, trade them off.
Right. So we are very judgmental, and we shoot those people that are weak. So I just want to say that's a partial truth. But having said that, I have to go back to the reality that the church does shoot its wounded. But, Rochelle, you and I talked before, and we got to tease this out first before we get there. Who are the wounded?
Well, and I think that's such a broad question. You could just say everybody's the wounded. We've all been wounded.
Let's start
by something.
There, right?
Right.
Okay.
And Christian and non-Christian, everybody's been wounded by something. And if not, I would love to meet that person that does not feel they've been wounded ever.
Even Christ was wounded.
Even Christ was wounded, more so than many of us.
Yes.
Or actually more so than all of us if we take in the whole cross thing.
A man, my name's, this is happening to me. Anyway, wrote a book, The Wounded Healer, you know, and Christ was wounded. But because we're all wounded, okay, but it seems like I can separate those wounds into two broad categories. One is we're wounded by what happens in life, not by choices we make necessarily. You can't always, you know, make a clear line there, but you're wounded by maybe what somebody else did to you. Take the extreme, you know, a loved one is murdered, okay? You didn't ask for that. It happened, and you're wounded by that event. That kind of wound where it happens outside of us, but there's also the wounding we do to ourselves because of our sinful, broken nature, choices we make, judgments, other judgments we make in our life. And it seems to me that within the church, we're pretty good at shooting both kind of wounded people.
Well, because we're all a bunch of humans, and we tend to forget that we're all a bunch of humans. But yes, we do. We hurt people intentionally and unintentionally.
So those experiences, I mean, say that unintentionally, those experiences you have when you talk to someone who comes to you and says, you know, you really hurt me when, if they're going to be honest, I mean, that doesn't happen that often, but somebody who's honest can come up and say that, and you're kind of oblivious to it. You go,
I've had that experience at this church, and I'm thankful that this person came up to me and told me all the things I had said and done that really upset her. And I was just being silly and thought I was joking, but she took everything I said very literally and very, very different from how I meant it. And it really hurt me to know I'd hurt her that deeply.
Right.
And
right.
I'm so thankful she did come to me, or right. She would still be hurting over me just being mouthy. You know?
Well, and I think we probably better put a little bit more meat on this as to what we mean by shooting the wounded. How does the church shoot its wounded?
Okay. What kind of meat do you want? Like, what's specific?
When I'm sitting here thinking about our discussion, I'm going, you know, before we move to the next part, I think we got to talk about, because maybe some of our listeners are sitting there saying, I don't get it. What do they mean, shoot the wounded?
And maybe you and I aren't even communicating at the same thing anyway. But for me, it's hitting someone where it hurts already. So I have a special needs child that's very difficult. She's on the autism spectrum, and sometimes parenting her looks different. And I've had people in this church saying what she needs is a good spanking. That was wounding me.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
at the point where you're already hurting.
I was already hurting. I was already stressed out and upset, and it was already a difficult situation, and that just added to the difficulty of my situation.
Right, right.
And the knowledge that the person standing there watching didn't understand at all. So to me, that was hitting me in a wound, not meaning to. They had no idea they didn't know what my problems were. So I can forgive that. Not everybody can.
Yeah, right, right.
But I think that's actually a
fairly common
one.
Well, I would say everybody can from this standpoint. If we understand Christ and his forgiveness of us and started that at our standing point, then it's a process to let go of it. Maybe easier for some than others.
Right. So some wounds are deeper. And like that one for me is not as bad as there's other points you could touch wounds that are deeper. That would, so my husband, I'm widowed. My husband was killed in Iraq. You might tell me that you think war is wrong and that he deserved to die. That would wound me.
Very severely.
That would wound me severely. Or to say that I must have sinned and therefore God allowed my husband to die. We have all kinds of ways of wounding, but it's...
But you're wounding someone who's already wounded. Okay,
correct.
So it's
Yes.
I made the mistake. It's terrible. I was up late one night when I'm on vacation, and I watched mixed martial arts, you know, and MMA. And it just, you know, I don't get it, but I got engrossed into it, you know, and I get boxing's the same way. You get that little bit of blood, and then you just pound at it, because that's the weakness. And yeah, it happens in the church.
It does happen.
Maybe not, that's an extreme, but we go back to the issue, Rochelle. We're all wounded. Okay, we got to, so we acknowledge that. And then that we, like a wounded animal, can strike out in fear, retribution, as someone else who's also wounded.
Yes,
and drive them away.
Well,
so, let's take on the next question then. Why do we in the Christian community shoot our wounded? Interesting blog that I read in preparation for this podcast, and I have a link to it in the show notes, Why the Church Shoots Its Wounded. There's 9 different reasons this person gives. Some of them explained a little bit better than others. We don't have time to take on all 9 of them, but Rochelle and I are going to take on a few of them here. So let's start with one of those reasons that this writer gives for shooting our wounded, and that is that we want the Christian faith to be simple, not complex. And Stacy and I talked about this in the last episode. And if you want to listen to that, you can go into the show notes. I'm going to have a link there to the last episode, too, because it ties so well with this one. We don't like messes.
We don't like messy things. We don't like more work than what we already have.
As soon as I said that, I'm going, no, Doug, your office is an absolute disaster. You live very comfortably in a mess. Maybe some of, I'm being honest here. Some of us do like messes. And that can be part of the issue, though, too. You know, yes. we like messes.
Some people just like to make messes.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, but with the simplicity, going back to that issue, though, we don't like messes.
We like order. We like things to be easy, and we like to have a nice checklist to go by. It just makes it easier. If I know what's expected of me here at church and exactly what the rules are.
Or what's expected at church. I mean, this is how the norms we define this community by. And there always are. There's got to be some norms, or even amoeba has a boundary to it, right?
Right.
Okay, otherwise, so that's just natural. It's going to be there.
It's interesting because I think that may be why we want it simple, not complex, because we want it to be a safe place for us to come.
We call it a sanctuary.
We want it to be a sanctuary, and you're messing up my sanctuary by being like that.
Why? Because I'm wounded.
Because you're wounded.
And I need that sanctuary for my wounds. Don't give me your wounds.
Right. I've got my own.
Yeah. So let's keep it simple. You know, just between me and God, don't bring your stuff into it. I do think that is an issue. I think that is one of the reasons why when somebody comes to us with their wound, why we can strike out at them. This is messing up my view of what church, put quotes around that, is supposed to be.
I would agree with that. There's a lot of people that just want to do church. They don't want to do people.
Let's take on another one. We confuse forgiveness with approval. You that one hit a chord with you earlier.
That one did hit a chord with me, probably because I've spent the last several years working on that particular issue. So there's one of my wounds. But the ability to forgive someone without allowing them to continue to hurt you means you have to understand you don't have to approve what they're doing to forgive. They're two separate issues, and you don't have to allow it to continue is a third piece of that.
Which then comes to me also a misunderstanding of what forgiveness might be in that circumstance. And the circumstance I'm talking about here is when somebody has done something really mean and ugly to you and is not repentant of that, what they've done. And that's kind of what I'm hearing that situation you're talking about, because the behavior may still be there. And you don't have to prove that behavior that's going on, but letting go of it is what we're talking about. And it can't confuse the same now. If I forgive that person, that means it's okay for them to treat me this way.
Right, and that's not what we're saying. We're saying it's okay for me not to carry the burden of their sin. I don't have to carry that anymore. And forgiveness is really giving it to God to be the judge of what happened between you
right.
and the other person.
Right. Yeah, there is that. The other side of that coin you have to address is that there are times when somebody comes to you and asks for forgiveness. As I mentioned in the last podcast, I had a wonderful experience a few weeks back, and a man came into my office. Mutually, we forgave each other because we were both at fault. You know, those are just amazing experiences.
They are, because you come together more in unity and you grow from that experience. It's probably one of the best things we can experience.
I think it is. I do.
But it doesn't mean that we have to say what they did was right, because it hurt. I think some people are too quick, the opposite, too quick to forgive. Oh, I forgive them because I'm a Christian.
Because God told me I had to.
You
won't forgive. So you turn in about me. God won't forgive me if I don't forgive them.
There's that. And there's the lack of acknowledging the hurt. Well, how did you even forgive that if you didn't acknowledge it hurt you? You need to recognize it's okay to say, that really hurt me and my family. And I forgive them.
And the consequence of that may be you saying to that person, you know, that really hurt me. There is a separation between you and me right now. And I'm working to forgive you, you understand, but it's not going to go back to what we had beforehand because the hurt is too deep.
Exactly. And you have to be vulnerable to get to that point. And like we said, we want it to be simple, so we don't want to be vulnerable either.
Correct. So being I kind of being careful with my words there because I want to use a word in this next statement that I was tempted to use just a minute ago, and that would have been too confusing. Being judgmental of a person who's wounded in the Christian church then creates a barrier that protects me from that wounded person. And I think that's the whole reason why we do it. It's about pain. It goes back to your issue of pain. And that was so insightful when you shared that about pain. If I can get a barrier between you and me, I don't feel as much pain then, my own pain.
Right.
So I'll judge you, push you away, because that's what judgmentalism does. It pushes you and distances me from you.
It definitely puts up a wall or pushes, yes, it separates you and it shuts down, again, the communication. You just made me trigger the whole kind of the widow joke or the widow's group we have is people afraid to talk to us because they're afraid it'll happen to them, like it's contagious.
Can I tell you something? It is contagious because we're all going to die.
We're all going to die. Right. But I think we tend to sort of think that too, that your sin might be contagious. It might impact my family if I get too close to it.
Exactly. And then my dream of what my family, what I've dreamed of my family being is not going to be what it is. So we're going to take another break here. We got one more segment to go through, and we're going to go a little bit further now and try to take a more of a positive spin. Hopefully this is not, I'm not saying that what we're saying is helpful, but we want to talk about ways that we can address judgmentalism in the Christian community. So we'll be back after this break.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged, then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at Lifetree Cafe. At Lifetree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Lifetree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Lifetree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Lifetree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It's gone fast.
It's gone real fast. Rochelle and I say this every time. We were talking during that break, Rochelle. I just so enjoy having you, Rochelle, on, because we go in some interesting directions. I'm sure all of you know that I script this. You know, I have to do some scripting of these podcasts. But a lot of times, Rochelle, she'll come up with thoughts that I think are wonderful, and that's stimulating. So having said that, I hope that's coming across to you as your listeners, that we're enjoying ourselves, and that is stimulating you as well. Once again, I need to repeat that this is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and we want you to go to our website at holycrosscs.org, and you can email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com, and if you have a comment or thought you want to share with Michelle, please send it to me there as well, and I'll make sure she gets it. So last time in my last podcast with Stacy Tassler Crossan, we had talked about Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together. And I think I hinted in there that I would be bringing some of that up here in this issue. So as we address ways to combat judgmentalism, I wanted to bring in the concepts that Stacy and I had talked about in the last episode. And if you don't know what those were and you want to go a little deeper with that, we will introduce you to them. We'll give you basics of them. But you can go back to episode number 6. It will be in the show notes. And you can find that link there, or go to the Praying with the Eyes website, and you can dig and find it there as well. So what does it look like? Well, let's go back to the idea that Bonhoeffer shared in Life Together, that we relate to each other because of Christ. And I'm going to keep this rather simple, that we need each other because of the issue of sin.
Absolutely. Well, we need each other even before sin entered the world.
Oh, that's a good point, because we were created that way.
We were created that way. Sin makes it harder to meet that need.
One of the things you and I talked about was being messy. Life is messy.
Life is messy.
And so the heart, there's two difficult words that are part of this that we relate to each other because of Christ. Well, what did Christ come to do? He came to die on the cross because we are broken, sinful people. And the Bible makes it clear that you and I need each other on a very difficult level to reveal to each other our sin.
Right. And it's a loving thing to do. It's a good thing to do. We tend to not like that side of things, but
do you think our listeners feel that way?
That it's a good thing to do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure some do and some don't, and it probably depends on how it's done.
Yeah,
I
I'm going to take the other side of that, too. It just depends on how it's done, but it also can be dependent on how I receive it.
Truth,
I mean,
yes.
There's both ways that can be done, and now you take it both together, how it's done and how I receive it, now we're really in trouble.
And now it's difficult. It's messy.
It's real messy.
It's messy.
But the reality is, I even may be aware of my sin, but I need the brothers and sisters of the Christian community to have love for me. To say, you may even be aware of this, that you're doing this, but what you're doing is really harmful.
What you're doing is harmful to you or harmful to others. And yeah, it brings you a new level of awareness. If you think you're the only one aware of your own sin, it's easy to just float by on it. But when someone else calls you on it, calls you out, it just forces you to acknowledge it and look at it.
It seems to me one of the issues that we want to avoid is the secret, but we like keeping secrets. So when somebody sees it and exposes what we maybe have considered a secret, it's a very painful thing.
It is a very painful thing. We didn't want them to know about that.
But why are secrets like that exposed? And this goes back to what you were saying, because I need you not just to speak that word to me, but more importantly, once you've spoken that word to me and I've confessed it, I need you to tell me so I hear it in my ears that I'm forgiven.
Tell me I'm forgiven. Yes, and we process it differently when we hear it from outside our minds, our heads, than we process it. It hits a different processing center in the brain. So it is important to hear it out loud that we're forgiven. And that I'm going to expand that to that people will come alongside us to help us out of our sin. It does me very little good, maybe some good, to tell me about my sin.
and to be there to hear my confession of my sin.
Right, and to forgive me, that's good. But the next step is I need help.
Yeah, and that's when we talk about repentance, there's always those three stages to it. And we stop at the second stage so many times. Confessing, receiving forgiveness, but then amending our life. Amending our conduct, changing.
Changing, right.
But I need you to help me with that. Just as you need me. I mean, it's not like one person here in this relationship is more perfect than the other person, living the Christian faith more perfectly than the other person.
No, exactly. I mean, I personally have an accountability partner, and she and I confess our sins to each other, and we try to lift one another up and help each other. It's very reciprocal, and neither one of us feels better than the other, but we strengthen each other to do it together.
And I got to say this, one of the most important aspects of this is confidentiality.
Absolutely.
You know, when you get vulnerable with somebody to that level, that you're confessing a deep, dark sin because it's killing you.
And literally.
Literally, it's killing your soul. It's killing your soul. And that person had better take that to their grave.
Can I just smile a little? Because
yeah,
we just
can.
Said that secrecy is what we want and isn't always good. And now we're saying secrecy
is absolutely necessary.
Isn't that interesting that we need a balance between the two?
Yeah, it's a secret, but not a secret anymore. You know, it's no longer my secret.
Right.
I've shared it with this, for my case, it would be with a brother in Christ, you know, and I've shared it with that person. It's exposed. I'm exposed. I'm naked before that brother of my sin, right?
Right.
But he does not have then the right to expose my nakedness to others that I choose not to expose it to.
Right. And I think that boundary is a good one. And I think it's why we don't always do public confession
right.
of all of our sins. Nope. I believe God allows that.
Private confession is a good thing, along with public confession.
Right. So.
All right. So the second thing he says, so we relate to each other because of Christ. We need each other. Speak Christ. Be the bearers of the gospel into each other's life. Secondly, it says that how we can battle this judgmental bent toward judgmentalism is through Christ. And simply put this, as Stacy and I talked about this, we talked about that Christ stands between us, and we dare not relate to each other in the body of Christ without Christ standing in the middle of us.
You know, it's interesting when you say that. I agree. Mm-hmm. And then I would extend it to, if you are a Christian, Christ stands between you and every person you interact with.
I agree with that completely. It's a different kind of relating, but it's still there. It's still necessary. How can I relate to the world and be okay if it's not through Christ?
If it's not through Christ.
Yeah, I agree. So we're sitting here and we're struggling and it's want to be judgmental and jump down somebody's throat. Put Christ right there. See Christ. Look through Christ to that person. Visually. I mean, visualize it in your brain.
Right. And I think different people might have to visualize it differently. We're all mm-hmm. different. My way of thinking of things is remembering that Christ took on all of our sin. So he took on my sin, but he's also taken on all my pain.
Mm.
And if I can look at you recognizing Christ hurt just as much as I did when you hurt me, and I can give all that to him, I can see you in a more forgiving.
Yes, and it's still the same thing. So really what you're saying, and I appreciate that, is because it's a big picture, putting Christ between us in the church and in the world, but specifically we're talking about the church here. Putting that Christ there is huge. And then the third thing that Stacy and I brought up last episode that I think applies here to combating judgmentalism is to remember that I relate to you in Christ. And this is the one I think is a little bit harder for us to wrap our brain around. But since we have been clothed with Christ, and that's not going to be taken away from us. Now, I can throw it off, but Christ is never going to.
But the Holy Spirit remains.
So, yeah. And so you and I are joined, and you and I meaning listeners here, we are all joined because we're clothed with Christ for eternity. I'm going to be with you for all eternity before the Lamb who was slain. And I keep thinking about this, that I really ought to affect the way I talk to you today in the church.
Absolutely. And part of my sense of humor is like, you can't get away from anybody.
But you can't.
You can't
be a hermit.
Might be a stressful thing. But yes, the recognition that eternity starts right now, today. It's already started without me. And
we just have to pass us through this thing called death.
Right. But, yeah, it's a nominal thing now, which is kind of cool.
That's right. That's right.
But we are connected. And, you know, Christ said we are one body. Right? Did Christ say that? Or
No, Paul. Paul talks, Paul talks about that.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're one body. Well, it doesn't look right to tear us apart. If we are one, if we are in unity and we are one in Christ, it's even more than we spend an eternity together. We're one whole part.
Right. And so now, instead of being judgmental and distancing myself from you, and as I mentioned last podcast, as pastors we do, you know, well, that'd be a healthy subtraction from the congregation if that person left. Instead of saying that, now I come to you and say, look, I'm going to spend eternity with you. I'm already in eternity with you. Let's work this out.
Let's work it out. And how much better are relationships when you work them through? All relationships are better when you're able to work it through. And I've had so many things that grow. I'm sorry, I'm getting so excited I can't articulate. But when somebody has come to you for forgiveness or that needs to forgive you, when you've worked out a problem, you grow, your relationship is stronger, you're a better person, and the love is so much bigger. I would just wish we could do more of it when you work through the mess.
And that's, I think that's a good place for us to kind of bring our time together to a halt, because I think that was, it's all about, about restoration, redemption. We're all looking for redemption, and in being judgmental, I think, is also trying to redeem my life, but we dig it the wrong way. I redeem it by pushing you away from me. What we're saying here is, let's embrace the mess and let's work through it as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Lovingly
with each other. And that's really hard for a person like me who's emotionally based. I have to calm down, Doug. Calm down.
You have to breathe a little more.
Breathe a lot, yeah. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. Wonderful to have you with Rochelle. It's such a joy to have you.
Thank you. It is such a privilege. Thank you so much. I enjoy it.
Yeah, and to let you listeners know, when I asked her on Sunday, it gave her very short notice. She immediately went to her calendar to see if it would work. So I appreciate that very much. It wasn't, what's he asking me to do again? We invite you to subscribe on iTunes. And if you do subscribe on iTunes to the Praying with the Eyes podcast, please leave a review and a rating. It keeps it up front. It keeps it up top of things so other people can find it. And we can keep talking about Christ in the marketplace of the world today. And that marketplace is it tends to be the cyber world where people communicate with each other. If you have any questions, please email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. And like I said before, if you have any comments for Rochelle, I'll make sure she gets them. We invite you to come to the website for the Praying with the Eyes website at www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. And please dig deep there and look at the different categories of blogs that have been written, and there might be something there that will really encourage you in your walk in faith in Christ. Or maybe if you're not a Christian, you might find something there that says, hey, these Christians aren't quite what I thought they were, or maybe it will affirm what you you think too. But anyway, we invite you to come there. This is a part of Ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Please go to our website at www.holycrosscs.org. We worship at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 on Sunday mornings. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area and do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and join us. We also offer Bible studies for children, youth, and adults at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and then for adults at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. One of the great ministries we have that really connect with what we do, and you've heard a promo for it in this podcast, and that's LifeTree Cafe. During the summer months, we have two of them going here at Holy Cross on Mondays and Tuesdays from 11:45 to 12:45 over the noon hour. And we'd love to have you come and drop in, and whatever the topic is, your thoughts are welcome, your doubts are welcome at a LifeTree Cafe. And if you don't live in Colorado Springs or are interested about LifeTree, please check out their website at lifetreecafe.com. In the next episode, I talked about a couple of gentlemen that I met this morning. I approached them this morning when I get back from a short vacation here that we might together. They're both from Colombia, and they are part of an English as a second language class that's a part here. They're teachers in it. They're translators in Colombia, and they're fascinating stories, and I would really like to take on the topic of being a world Christian. What does it mean to be a world Christian? And it'll be a great topic. So that's not for sure, but I'm hoping that will happen in the next podcast. Please let your friends and your relatives know about this podcast. Share it on your social media if you would. And we want to share Christ and seek connections with many people. I look forward to being with you in the next episode.
Thanks for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Laird Production, which you can find online at www.lairdproduction.com. For thoughts and questions that you might have, please email Doug at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.